League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. In fact, wherever you're listening around the world, welcome to EV News Daily for Saturday, the 20th of April, 2019. It's Martin Lee here, and this is another Saturday special where I talk to industry leaders and prominent personalities from the world of electric cars and clean mobility. This week, I'm joined by Rupert Mitchell. He's the Chief Strategy Officer of Chinese OEM WM Motor. I want to find out more about the Chinese market. From here in the UK, we know it's critical to the growth of EVs and is leading the way in terms of sales numbers. But what's behind this push to electric cars in China? Why are so many people outside of China still unaware of the names which otherwise are familiar sellers of EVs over there? And when will I be able to buy, and when will you be able to buy, a Chinese EV? Let's find out more. And welcome to EV News Daily, Rupert Mitchell. Morning. Good afternoon. Good evening, Rupert.
Hi, Martin. How are you?
Tell us about what you do at WM Motor.
So I'm the Chief Strategy Officer at WM Motor. I joined the company last year after 25 years of being in Asia and Europe, really in the financing world. Freeman Shen, our founder and chairman, invited me to join the company midway through last year. And it's been an exceptionally exciting ride, a fantastically exciting space in, you know, the epicenter of EV world right now.
Okay, so we're going to get back to WM in a moment, and we'll come around to what you are doing there. But first of all, for the audience that listens to this podcast, the Chinese market seems like this huge beast of an EV market. We know a million vehicles sold last year, but really don't understand a lot about it. So if it's possible to give us a summary of where is the Chinese market at? We know the subsidies are ending, but we know there's a load of companies making EVs. Is it possible to even summarize it for us?
China is deadly serious around electric vehicles. Something I'd like to talk about later on is you spend a lot of your time talking about range anxiety. Range anxiety is not a thing in China. Why? Because they've come to the whole problem from the other direction. EVs just form a small part of a national transportation strategy around electrification. So, give an example of this. The high-speed rail network in China. 2008 didn't exist. Last year, 30,000 kilometers of track of high-speed rail. You know, getting from Beijing to Shanghai used to be 10 hours on the train. Now it's 5 hours at 350 kilometers an hour. By 2025, we'll have 40,000 kilometers of high-speed rail track connecting 80% of all major cities. That's going to be more than the Japanese, Spanish, French, and German systems put together. So passenger vehicles have become an urban problem only. So urban transport only. If you're traveling city to city, you're getting the train. If you're going more than 4 or 5 hours on the train, you're getting a plane. And guess what? They're building another 75 domestic airports over the next four or five years. So that'll take the total number of domestic airports up to 260.
That's the difference between long distance and urban travel in terms of the US, the UK, and China. Tell us about the massive proliferation of Chinese EV companies, because there's more than a few around, right?
Yeah, and all of them are at various stages of development. I mean, so, you know, all of the what are called the Sino-foreign JVs, that's when the likes of the global OEMs tie up with one of the local OEMs. All of the standalone Chinese OEMs, they all have electrification strategies. On top of that, you've seen a large number of indigenous startup NEV companies or EV companies. How many we end up with at the end of this year or at the end of the next year? Heaven only knows, but I strongly suspect that we'll be one of them, given that we have actually got cars on the road and in delivery. There are a lot of businesses that are still at the sort of concept stage, showing up at all the car shows and putting beautiful design concepts on the booth, but not all of these companies are going to end up being in production.
Now, this was the, because we've been chatting over email for a long time, as I've been tapping up your knowledge of the Chinese market. But earlier this week, that was one of the points you raised, as you said, actually, there's so many fluffy press releases coming out of Auto Shanghai this week. So, and, you know, I'm halfway around the world in terms of my coverage on the podcast of it. So you were there. Is the impression that's given through the press releases that I pick up on, that I report on, that's slightly different to the reality that you see on the ground?
Yeah, I mean, and listen, I know this is a family-friendly podcast, and ultimately, so I won't really name names, but I mean, you know, you go to the sort of half-acre stands of some of the big global OEMs that put out best part of 20 or 25 electrification press releases a week. They've got one electric vehicle that is on sale in the world right now that's actually sitting on the stand. The rest are either pure concepts or their ICE fleet. I think that, you know, the world is right to be excited about electrification. It is a thing. Statements and reality, and there is a bit of a gap.
In terms of the show this year, is it luxury cars? Is it cheaper cars? Because again, the audience listening to this podcast wouldn't necessarily know what's the marketplace at the moment.
You've got a broad variety of EVs on offer in China. You have read a lot about companies such as NIO that are targeting sort of the premium end of the market head-to-head with the likes of Tesla. What people forget is actually electric vehicles started several years back with low-cost, low-range models, which were to a certain extent, sort of arbitraging the subsidy model, building really cheap cars where almost being built below the value of the subsidy that would come back on a per vehicle basis. The market's moved on dramatically from there now. And what you're seeing is genuine BEVs targeting proper ranges, 250 kilometers, 300 kilometers plus, targeting across the spectrums of affordability. At the end of the day, you know, the subsidies are going away.
What's the future in China? Is it going to be more domestic companies, or can companies like Tesla, who are now building their Gigafactory 3, will we see those recognized names come in and operate without doing joint ventures? What's the situation there?
Well, I mean, the government's recently changed the rules such that you can have a foreign-controlled NEV company in China right now. And Tesla has been the first company to take advantage of that. And, you know, I think that is a great thing for the market. You know, if you make EVs, you sure as hell want to be making them and selling them in China, because the growth in this market is going to outstrip the rest of the world for quite some time to come. So it's very clear why Elon Musk wants to have a local manufacturing capacity here in China. Ultimately, even the locally produced Model 3 is going to be positioned at the premium. There will be an element of imported components to that Model 3 before the battery and motor production can be sited within China. But even when it's fully domestic as a supply chain, it'll still be a reasonably sort of higher end of the spectrum priced car. Of the 28 million passenger vehicles that are sold every year in China, the premium segment is really 10% of the market, if that.
$1 million question. We hear about Chinese EVs all the time. When can I buy one?
The government wants NEVs to be 50% of the market by the late 20s. Now, if you think about 1 million cars was the number you gave, it depends how you classify plug-in hybrids. But if you, NEVs in total was 1.2 last year. So a very small percentage of 26, 27 million passenger vehicles overall. So if you're looking for a government target of, assume total sales are flat, right? If you're looking at a government target of 50%, you're talking about 15 million cars. Right? Or 50 million electric vehicles in a relatively short period of time. That just makes the growth dynamics here significantly more attractive as a market to prosecute than anywhere else in the world. I have no doubt that ultimately Chinese manufacturers of EVs that you haven't even heard of yet will be selling cars in the rest of the world. But in the near term, the market locally is in such hypergrowth that this is the obvious place to make and sell cars for. I was interested by the VW announcement yesterday talking about selling 12 million electric vehicles, making 12 million electric vehicles in China by a certain point in time. If there's substance to that announcement, it means that they plan on making EVs in China for export to the rest of the world. I think that's one way of interpreting that press release.
For many people listening, WM will be a company that they are not familiar with. Most people will only know BYD because we see buses flying around in London or wherever. So you joined last year. Tell us about WM Motor.
So WM Motor was established in early 2015. It was founded by my boss, the chairman, Freeman Shen, who is a 25-year veteran of the global and Chinese auto OEM business. He was at Geely, which you will have probably heard of because they own Volvo and they own Lotus. And in fact, he was the guy responsible for the acquisition of Volvo cars from Ford back in 2010. And he assembled very senior auto execs in Shanghai and others. We are the only one of the Chinese electric vehicle startups to have our own manufacturing and production licenses here in China. We have our own greenfield factory, Danzhou, with an initial production capacity of 100,000 units per annum. We started building that in November of 2016. It was complete and producing cars a year later. Went into scheduled production of our EX5, our debut model, in late September last year. So there are currently our first model, which is the EX5, which is a 5-seat, what you would call compact, what we call Class A SUV. Just under 10,000 of those on the road right now. This is a vehicle that is pitched very much at the mass market in China. The entry-level EX5 will cost you under $20,000, and that's for a car with 300 kilometers of NEDC range, decent battery densities, but most importantly, highly connected. The reality is that electric vehicles are more expensive than their fossil equivalents. Subsidies can go some way towards bridging the gap, but ultimately, when you want to get people to make the leap at this stage, the carrot is connectivity. What we have is a car with an infotainment package which is upgradable over the year, which is totally customized for the Chinese consumer, AI voice assistant, a little camera that has facial recognition to recognize each of our users, as well as all the socials and the entertainment features. So you're looking at a hyper connected vehicle for less than $20,000 after subsidies right now.
That's still an expensive car. As you say, EVs are more expensive, but there's a trade-off there. You get that connectivity.
I'm going against what I said and sort of naming names now. Okay, so let's say you had 130,000 RMB, right, to buy a 1.8-litre petrol engine Golf. And you go, I want to buy an electric Golf. That is double the price. At the moment, they're only imported. They're not locally manufactured. So it is literally 128 versus, I think, 265,000 RMB. For that, you get a vehicle that's on an identical platform. It is effectively the same car with a different drivetrain. That's no carrot. That's no incentive. People aren't going to make the leap just on the basis of a little bit. Yeah, they'll get the electric effect of instant torque, etc., but they're not driving the future, which is what we seek to deliver by asking people to spend a little bit more than what they would spend otherwise on a petrol engine.
Let's talk about Auto Shanghai this week, where you were talking about the EX6, your next mass-produced car. Still concept car at the moment, is that right? Tell us about the EX6.
It'll come in two variants, 5-seater and 6-seaters. So that's the 6 seats will be in 3 rows. So think 4 armchairs and then a bench at the back. That is going to be in mass production by the end of September this year. So we're really not in concept phase there. What we did launch was the pro version of the EX5. This is our top-of-the-line vehicle that's selling at post-subsidy 239,000 RMB. So that's the most expensive car in the fleet. But that car has, you know, everything in. We also launched at a big event just ahead of Auto Shanghai, the 2019 version of the EX5, which comes with a full suite of level 2 ADAS. So in terms of, you know, that's all 14 features of level 2 ADAS, traffic jam assist, so follow me, slow down, speed up in traffic, emergency, assisted emergency braking in low speed and fast speed situations. I mean, that's a full suite of LT autonomous tech. That's in all of the X5s and obviously in the X5 Pro. We did tease a concept, the Evolve. This is our car for 2021. We will have a level 3 autonomous suite in that. We also announced that we're dropping NEDC. I know that you're a bit snicky about NEDC.
It doesn't make any sense. It's a number that's so wildly exaggerated. So what are you going to be using from now on?
Okay, so as of next year, we're going to be adopting WLTP. We'll be the first Chinese OEM to be doing that. Just by way of background, you know, whilst we buy our battery cells in, we do all of the battery packing ourselves.
If people want to find out more, there's a new English language version of your website that people can have a look at. What's the best way to find out more?
WM-motor.com, toggle for the English language website. Obviously, it's a consumer-facing website in China. There's a little bit less on the English website, but we want people to be informed about what we're up to. You can find me on Twitter, Rupert Mitchell 9. I try to be interesting about things EV in China. You can also follow me on LinkedIn, again, under my own name, Rupert Mitchell.
Before you go, so WM Motor, a company that began in 2015, in 2019, you're already making cars.
We've got 10,000 on the road. you know, we've already done our second OTA upgrade of vehicles on the road. I mean, you know, we're absolutely there.
Operating at breakneck speed, we see the Tesla Gigafactory being built at breakneck speed. People online say, oh, well, that's, you know, they don't know, they don't understand. They say, well, that's China. There's probably people working, you know, for no money. And, you know, they're building this factory and they're being exploited in some way. But then we see pictures and dressed in all the safety gear. People are driving home in reasonable cars. People who don't understand, this is China 2019, right? This is new China. This is to be taken very seriously.
There is no doubt you need to take this incredibly seriously. I mean, let's step back a bit. You know, why is China so focused on EVs? At the moment, China imports 80% of its crude oil requirements, most of that going on transportation. Urban roadside pollution, a major problem. Ultimately, EVs are the future in China. They're absolutely committed to getting it right. But most importantly, and I think relevant to you, Martin, is that China missed out on the first 70 years of the automotive industry. In the last 30 years that's been involved, it's been desperately trying to play catch up with Europe and North America in the automotive space. Electrification represents a real leapfrog opportunity for China. And that's why I wouldn't be remotely surprised if the forecourts of Europe in 10 or even less years' time are filled with Chinese-branded electric vehicles. I wouldn't be remotely surprised at all. We have Mr. Musk to thank for this. He's woken up the world to the benefits of electrification, and whatever happens to Tesla, I think his place in the history books will be pretty favorable. Be under no illusion, China is very, very fixed on being a dominant global player in electric cars.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, and I think we should get you on again, and we should later in the year, and you can update us on the Chinese market.
Happy to.
Rupert Mitchell from WM Motor, thank you so much.
All right, thanks a lot.
Well, thank you very much once again for joining us on the podcast today. I think I certainly learned a lot this week, and I have a deeper understanding now of why the Chinese market's so important to EVs. And actually, you know, there are tens and tens of Chinese makers, domestic Chinese companies talking about EVs, but we've really got to kind of dig a little bit deeper to see which ones have the factory up and running, which ones are making the cars, and when this all shakes out over the next months and years, which are going to be the ones left behind and still standing, still making cars. Thank you very much. Definitely get Rupert on again. That was super interesting. Time for the endy bit. thank you to 215 patrons of the podcast who keep me going. There are 448 previous shows, most of them news episodes, but a fair few interviews now. I should put them in some sort of YouTube playlist or something, or a special section of the blog at evnewsdaily.com, so you can find them all. Over the last year and 2 months, really, been talking to some fascinating people in the world of EVs. If you want to catch up on the socials, I'd love to hear from you. If you search EV News Daily, you'll find me in the meantime. Have a wonderful day. I'll catch you tomorrow when we'll read out all of your answers to Question of the Week. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.